Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
Two words that any parent or grandparent for that matter does not want to hear, whether it's summer holidays or not. I'm bored. And, you know, with the federal government's recent social media ban for under 16s in effect, you might even have experienced a bit of a spike in boredom happening with kids this school holidays. But is boredom a bad thing? Can a bit of boredom actually do some good for children and maybe even for us grown-ups too? Dr. Elise Waghorn is a lecturer in early childhood at RMIT University, and she joins you now on Nightlife. Welcome, Elise.
Thank you for having me.
You're a mother of four, so I bet you've heard the words, I'm bored, before. is this concern? I mean, it's almost like, you know, oh, don't let them get bored. But, you know, where's this come from? Is this a phenomenon or not?
Look, it's actually really good when our children can say they're bored, because that's when the most imagination comes into play. I think we live in a society where we're always trying to fix things for children. We're always trying to place that gap so to keep them occupied. So, lack of a better word, leave us alone so that we can get our own things done. But I think it's really important. It's a learning journey for children to be able to create their own play, create their own learning and development. And so I think as adults, sometimes we have to stop ourselves from rushing in and trying to come up with something for them to do and let them just sit with it for a bit, because they will come up with something. They're very creative children.
Yeah. So what is it about not having something to do? And I can imagine they might come up with things you don't want them to do, but, you know, let's let them do a bit of risky play. What is it that gets the creativity going? Is there something primal almost that, well, what am I going to do?
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing is, when children are creating their own play, they're actually going to be engaged in it for a lot longer. It's called a state of flow. And when children can get in a state of flow, or even adults get in a state of flow, we're actually immersed in our learning, and we actually develop a higher order of thinking, which is really important to get that next level of development and understanding. So when we allow children to do it, we're actually teaching them a life skill of being able to fill space. But also, a lot of the times adults will create the play for children and then they follow it the way that they think adults expect them to. When we allow children to develop their own play, they take it in a way that maybe we didn't even think was possible, but also creating new language and understandings and sharing between friends or siblings. It creates a whole world of new knowledge for children. So it's really important that we give them the space to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So that is them coming up with it from the get-go. So you're not even saying, hey, look, take this blanket and these chairs and, you know, cubby house. You're not even throwing the idea out there.
No, that's exactly right. And look, some children, depending on their development, might need a little guidance. Like, I wonder what would happen if you take this blanket and these chairs? What could we create? I love I wonder questions to children because it gives them the possibility. But if they can get it from the get-go and develop their own playing from, you know, the beginning, it's going to be so much deeper and engaging for them.
It's hard to know, Elise, what's been happening out there since the social media ban, but do you think there could have been a spike, you know, where kids had once just, you know, endlessly scrolled? I mean, they've still got access to the internet and so many things, so it's not like suddenly there's no online world for them. But do you think there has possibly genuinely been a spike in boredom?
Yeah, look, I have no doubt of it. And I dare say, especially the first couple of weeks, what are we just over 3 weeks into it. And I just think that these first 3 weeks are really kind of give and take. And there's a lot of, you know, maybe some anxiousness and some agitation are coming off the tech. But I dare say in the next 4 weeks, we will see a massive change. And addiction can take up to 28 days or sometimes longer to actually break. And we've got to realise that children were actually, or a lot of children were addicted to technology. So we still haven't even seen the possibility of the learning that children can undertake outside of this, you know, internet world that they've been so used to. So for parents still hanging there, there's still a lot of children that will be going through withdrawal. So this, all of a sudden, them being able to create play from nothing hasn't necessarily hit your doorstep yet. And so I think it's just a matter of just recognizing that some children will still be going through withdrawal. The chances are, especially when the shops are closed and so many things have shut down at the moment, boredom, there would have been a massive spike in boredom, but that's okay. I don't think it's anything really to be concerned about.
No, there, as you say, there's this benefit, this flip side to boredom is a catalyst for creativity. Is that, and this might be too big a question in a way, Elise, but is that innate? Like, have kids of any age just got it there and they just haven't been using it because technology has been taking its place? Or could they have lost the ability to do some of this creative play or even just imaginary, you know, imaginative thinking of how to fill the space of life because they haven't done it?
Exactly right. And I think it's a bit of from column A and a column B, like play is an innate way of children to learn. But by the age of about 7, our brain has already developed a lot of our synapses that are going to, you know, give us the direction in life, basically. So if children haven't learnt how to freely play before the age or even had the opportunity before about the age of 7, we're actually having to teach them the basics again. So while, and it's just giving them the space to do it. So children over the age of 7, which is obviously especially our teenagers that have been hit with the ban, you say 13 to 16 year olds, would have been so used to being on social media that this is actually a really challenging space for them at the moment. And I think what, as parents or caregivers and grandparents, we've got to understand that we can't compare it to our time because we live in a totally different world. And that's a lot of the narrative that I'm hearing is, well, we survived in our day. This day and age is a lot different to, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. So I think we have to be understanding and recognise this is a big shift for them, but also realise that when given the opportunity, it is innate. Children do know how to play. They've just maybe forgotten how to do it and how fun it is to do.
Yeah, building forts, you know.
Yeah.
Riding your bike, you know, it feels
exactly
crazy to be saying these basic things.
But
the basics possibly have been a little bit lost somewhere along the way. I feel, and I know that your expertise is in children. Dr. Elise Waghorn is my guest here on Nightlife. You're with Bern Young on ABC Radio. And so we're talking about kids, but, you know, one, we've all been kids. And two, I wonder as, you know, modelling behaviour as adults, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or whatever it might be, you know, we're all picking up our phones all the time to fill space as well. So how do you think we do with boredom, and how we respond to boredom, how much does that matter to what we're modelling to kids?
Look, 100%, and I think it's so important because children learn through observation. And so if we're constantly grabbing for our phone, even if it's work purposes, you know, because we live our lives and our work through our phones as well, children can't distinguish the difference between that. And I know I catch myself even sometimes when my kids go, "You're always on your phone, Mum," and I'll go, "I'm answering a work email," or "I'm doing this," or "I'm doing that." But they don't see it as that. They don't see that, you know, in their world that work is more important than chatting to their friends, for example. So if we're giving excuses as to why we're on our phones, they're definitely going to use excuses to be on their phones as well. So I think it's really important that as adults or aunties and uncles or grandparents, we learn to put the phone down ourselves. And it's really challenging. I have basically at the moment going through my whole house and doing a spring clean because I'm trying to model that. But it is hard to relax and just be in the moment. You're always looking for that next thing to do. And I think that's what scrolling through social media provides children and adults. And so that's what we get used to. But we've got to realise that it's okay to put the phone down and just spend time together without needing that input all the time.
Yeah. Here we are discussing boredom, and you're a busy, you know, mum of four, Elise. And I think you don't give anything to feel bored. You've got something to do at every corner, I would imagine, at this rate. I've just come off 5 weeks holiday, which I can't tell you the last time I had such a long holiday, and I didn't do anything. I didn't go away. So I've had a lot of time to just do a bit of nothing, quite a lot of nothing, actually. And what I found was that if I just never put my phone in my sphere, you know, in my orbit. So for instance, I'd wake up really early, kind of ridiculously early. And I'd think, this is stupid. I'm not even working today. Why am I awake so early? I could read my book. But if I took my book and my phone out to the, you know, veranda in the morning, I would inevitably end up on my phone. I just would. Even if it was because I was reading my book and I wanted to look up a word, or, oh, that's interesting. Oh, maybe I could, you know, what's that about, you know? And I would just inevitably end up on the phone, and then somehow the phone took over. So it is a powerful force, isn't it, this pocket computer of ours?
100%. And so many people will say, you know, charge it outside of your bedroom, or, you know, do something so it's out of your limelight, because the minute that you see it, you think, oh, I'll just check on that, or I wonder how that person was going, or I'm wondering, oh, I forgot to message or follow up with this person. And then before you know it, 20, 30, 40 minutes has gone by and, you know, you've totally been distracted by it. So I think you've hit the nail on the head that sometimes we've just got to put it out of our sight, because out of sight, out of mind, and then you're going to, you know, really be able to take on the book or the gardening or something like that without constantly stopping and looking for that dopamine hit off the screens, which is exactly what it does. So we've got to be mindful of that. Go for a walk, enjoy the weather, for example, and teach your children that you don't need a screen in front of you to get through the day.
Yeah. Can I ask you a bit more about that dopamine hit? So how else can you get that? So here we are, we're saying to kids, do something more, you know, for want of a better word, wholesome, or, you know, whatever. Just use your creative mind, you know, just go and be active, be whatever. Don't say I'm bored. But how does the dopamine thing work? Can you get that from, surely you get that riding your bike?
Yeah, definitely. And playing and risky play and all those things, it does definitely give you that hit that you need. But for children, so the phone's instantaneously, whereas when they're doing it through play, it might be a build and it might not be constant. And so that's the difference. It's recognizing that you don't need that constant, you know, every second dopamine hit to be able to enjoy something. It's the build up, it's the play, it's the recognizing that this can be fun, but it's a journey as well. And I think that's what the difference is, what children are seeing. They're so used to getting that hit constantly. I like to kind of refer it to, you know, the shooting games, for example, or the fight or flight games, and children are constantly on the edge of their seat, or a movie that, you know, has got you on the edge of your seat. And that's what your phones or your screens do. They constantly keep you engaged, whereas you can see how then riding your bike might be a little bit more mundane. So you've got to just teach children that it's okay, that the life isn't a constant hit, and that you've got to be able to just enjoy the moment that you're in, as opposed to looking for the next dopamine spike.
And is there a certain point, do you think, where there is too much boredom, for want of a better word? I mean, I don't know if boredom is such, but where it could even turn to you'd end up doing something that you probably shouldn't be doing because you got bored?
Yeah, look, I think parents or grandparents and family members know their children the best, and they know that limit. And I suppose I would give my children a little bit of leeway, but if I noticed that it was heading in the wrong direction, I'd probably try and step in or suggest a board game together or a family movie night or something to keep them, you know, guided, I suppose, as opposed to letting them free range. And I think it's still really important to know where your children are. And so there's got to be a limit in what you allow them to do that's age appropriate. But boredom, you know, for it is really important for children to be able to develop that skill of, you know, finding something to do and not constantly relying on someone to give you an idea.
Yeah. Okay. Parents, grandparents, you don't have to come up with the ideas. They do need to be able to do this for themselves. I hope you, Elise Waghorn, get some boring times during your holiday.
I'm really hoping I can as well.
I think you deserve it. I think you deserve to be bored. Whether you get the chance to with four kids, I'm not sure.
But that's a totally different conversation.
That is a totally different conversation. But good of you to make some time for me here on Nightlife. Dr. Elise Waghorn is a lecturer in early childhood at RMIT University. Thanks, Elise.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.